Scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers, they are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Who will work? As I continue my journey up the King's Highway, on the road of my faith, I have witnessed some eye-opening situations in the church today. The Lord has allowed me to observe some troubling signs of the times. I've had the opportunity to see what I believe is perhaps the greatest problem facing us today. Now, it is a problem that I believe has plagued and infected and infested the body of Christ, the church as a whole, the church universal. Let me suggest to you that the greatest problem facing us is not the gang problems that we see in larger cities around our nation and even right here in this city. It's not the gang problem on the outside. It's not the drug pusher on the outside. It's not the moral values of our youths, not ungodliness, not righteousness or unrighteousness. It's not darkness on the outside. It's not sin on the outside. I would suggest to you that the greatest problem facing us today is not what's going on the outside, but what ain't going on the inside. We've taken the mindset of the church of Laodicea, which was neither hot nor cold concerning the things of God. They went about their usual routine of doing things. The fact of the matter is that they were in such a state that the Lord himself said that because they were neither hot nor cold, that he would literally spit them out of his mouth. And the problem is that our lukewarm churches of today are rapidly becoming a nausea which grieves the heart of God. In the book, Every Believer a Minister, Dr. Rex Edwards graphically paints the pathetic picture of far too many Christians today. He says, "We sing the words of the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, and then wait to be drafted into his service. We sing, 'Oh, for a thousand tongues,' but don't use the ones that we have to share his word and good news to all that we meet. Serve the Lord with gladness, we understand, and we read from time to time, and yet we complain when somebody asks us to do something. If we don't complain, we have an excuse why we can't. To prevent ourselves from falling into this category, we need to change our mindset about the church, God's church. It's time that we, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person who died and rose again for our sake, it's time that we move from a state of survival to a state of revival." That's what the church is doing today, surviving. It's time that we move from a state of existence to a state of persistence concerning kingdom business. We have a survival mentality in the church. We're neither hot or cold. We're just lukewarm, operating at room temperature, unenthusiastic, nonchalant, just simply surviving, going through the motions, getting by day by day. And because of our lukewarm, narcosis-like attitude towards the things of God, we're finding many vacant seats in the pews among us. But I want to let you know that God has called the church to do more than survive. God has called the church to do more than simply exist. He wants us to move from a place of survival to a place of revival. And in order for us to be successful, there are some concepts that we must grab a hold of, that we must understand. Jesus showed us in our text today that there's a job to be done. There's a need that must be fulfilled. And I believe what Jesus is telling us here is that there is a need for some workers. There's a need for some laborers. There's a need for some folks who are willing to get their hands dirty for the cause of Christ. We live in a world today where everybody is looking for somebody. Major corporations are looking for college graduates with marketable skills. Hospitals are looking for medical students and nurses and scientists who have graduated at the top of their class. Financial institutions are looking for people with MBAs and top-notch portfolios, people who are ready to take on Wall Street single-handedly. The Marines are looking for a few and the proud. The Army is looking for those who are willing to be all that they can be. The Navy is looking for those who want not just a job, but an adventure. The Air Force is looking for those who want to aim high. Everybody's looking for somebody. You've got men looking for women. Women looking for men. Everybody is looking for somebody. And in our text today in Matthew, we are informed that the Lord likewise is looking for somebody. The Lord is looking for someone who is willing to give their all. The Lord is looking for someone who is willing to help in the harvest of the lost. The Lord is looking for someone who is willing to labor for the kingdom. Well, all right, but what constitutes a willing laborer? What separates that person from everyone else? How do I make sure that I'm doing my part in our move from the seats to the streets? Well, the text today gives us some things to consider as we seek to reach others through the harvest. And the first thing that we must do is recognize the task. Notice what the real issue is here. Jesus says the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. What kind of work? Glad you asked. We read in the text that the harvest. In the noun form, harvest refers to the crop, the produce, the product, the yield, the people, the sheep, the herding, the unloved. Now, I don't claim to be an agricultural major or an expert in those kinds of things, but the last time I looked, harvesting was done outside. And so that suggests to me that we've got to go outside of these four walls so that we can reach others. Let me put it like this. We've got to get off our blessed assurance and go into the highways and hedges and compel men and women, boys and girls, to come to Christ. Be the light unto their feet. The problem is that we're more concerned with church work than with kingdom work. We're more concerned about filling the choir with singers than filling the pews with new disciples. We're more concerned with church work instead of kingdom work. Oh, we'd rather have fundraisers and raffles and sell cakes and pies instead of bringing others to church. Church work instead of kingdom work. Some of us have the Martha mentality. You remember Martha. She worried about her housework so much that she didn't recognize that Jesus was in the house. She was more concerned about the rack of lamb in the oven than the fact that the Lamb of God was in her living room. We would rather sacrifice chicken dinners than give our whole time and talent and ability. Not only must we recognize and realize that the harvest is kingdom work, not church work, but likewise we must recognize the fact that it is full-time work. It's a full-time employment. So many think that it's a Sunday morning 9:30 to 12 job, or that it's a young adult job, and when I get into my 50s, I don't have to do it anymore. Kingdom work is full-time work. The Bible lets us know that Satan, the adversary, is roaming to and fro like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you know anything about lions, you know that they are always on the prowl. They are always on the hunt. They are always seeking their prey. And so if the enemy is always on his job, we need to be always on our job too. It's a full-time job. There's no such thing as a time clock when it comes to serving God. We are kingdom workers from cradle to grave. A laborer for the kingdom ought to always be ready to share in the plan of salvation with others and help lead them to Christ. A laborer ought to always be ready to witness to others about the goodness of God. That's easy. A laborer ought to always be ready to go out of his or her way to tell a dying world that Jesus lives. We ought to always be ready to share the availability of God's love for all of humankind. The experience of sharing your faith with others, well, that will also produce a positive spiritual result in your life. In an effort to bless others with the Word of God, we are in turn blessed ourselves. If you're going to be a willing laborer of the kingdom, not only must you recognize the task, but you must tell somebody. The Lord wants willing laborers who will realistically engage in the work to be done. Because He's called you, that makes you qualified. And He has called you, each and every one of you. And He's called you by name, if you will listen. And when He calls you, He will qualify you for the job to be done. Because He saved you and called you, yea, even called you by name, you now have a responsibility. We're reminded that by Paul in Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice because it is your reasonable service. Well, about Paul, why is it reasonable that I give my all and realistically engage in kingdom work? Well, that answer is found in 1 Corinthians where he says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have because of God? And don't you know that you're not your own? For you have been bought at a price. And therefore it is your duty, it is your responsibility to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are both God's. And as we begin to realistically engage in the work as laborers for the kingdom, as we begin to give our all and all for the service of the Master, then we find out that he is able to use us for His purpose. As we engage in the work of the kingdom, we find that God is able to use us for His purpose, so that others might witness the love of Christ in us. When you realistically engage in the work of laboring for the kingdom, you shall receive the power. Power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right. But most of all, when you engage in the work of the kingdom, you will receive the power to witness as one who has had a personal experience, one who can testify of and who can give evidence of God's love and how it has worked in your life. What I'm trying to say is that because he has given us the power, you'll have the power to witness in Jerusalem. That is, throughout your neighborhood. Because he has given you the power, you'll have the power to witness in Judea. That is, throughout this city. You'll have the power to witness in Samaria. That is, throughout our state. And you'll have the power to witness even to the ends of the earth. You'll have the power to tell a dying world that Jesus lives. How do I know he lives? Because he lives in me. And I know that he lives in you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We're looking for a few good workers. Won't you aim high and join our Savior? Because he lives.